Yeah, what's up? Happy Monday, everybody. It is Rumor Innuendo, and we're kicking off the week in a big way. I am Dominic D'Angelo of SCScoops.com, AdFreeShows.com, but I am here with former WWE writer, at WWE Creativish on X, Mr. Robert Karpos. Robert, happy week to you, starting off.
Happy President's Day to all of those celebrating the late, great Jack Tunney. No place I would rather be to start my week than here with you, Dom, talking all the exciting things in the world of professional wrestling. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today, man.
We got a lot, and we'll get right to it here. Stuff we're going to be focusing on here is the WrestleMania, the Fanatics experience getting announced. Some big plans for WrestleMania week coming up in Philadelphia. Darby Allin credits Cody Rhodes yet again after his promo that caused a lot of controversy online, and we had some insight earlier last week too on it. The Elimination Chamber of men's division is complete. We'll go over that. We're going to talk about CM Punk being happy that The Rock is back, and he had some interesting words to say on that. And hey, we got to kick it off with what happened on Friday night as The Rock went straight back to 1998 and delivered one of his classic promos that really harkened back to his corporate rock slash nation rock slash Hollywood rock. So Robert, let me get your thoughts on how that was all executed on Friday night.
Man, I was blown away at The Rock's presentation, delivery. We talked about this on Friday, that I thought they were going to have to open with Rock and Roman to give them enough time. They closed the show with it. Rock was succinct. He was to the point. This is a version of The Rock, Dom, that we have not seen in a very long time. This isn't even Hollywood Rock. You know, people point back to when he came back and feuded with Goldberg. It was a lot of tongue in cheek. This was like Die Rocky Die Rock.
Yes.
This was angry, vengeful, coming at the fans, which is surprising because this Rock is a lot different than the last time we saw a heel Rock. This Rock is one of the biggest movie stars on the planet. He's one of the most recognizable business figures in the world. And he is out there not pulling any punches. Yes, he's calling him trailer park trash, but you're in Utah and you're taking polygamy shots. So he is playing it's an interesting, dangerous game, but like we mentioned briefly on Friday, he doesn't want to get booed unless he is going full on heel. And this was full on heel.
He went pulled no stops, man. It was really, really, I was smiling ear to ear, especially when he walked out with that vest on and that $500 shirt, harkening back to that, just completely leaning into, you know, the late 90s attitude era. And Trailer Park Trash, dropping like Sing Along with The Rock is over, some of that classic stuff. But yeah, then just merging it together with like, hey, being that heel Rock that we really grew up watching and enjoying and stuff like that. And so, and then him adding to the aspect of being part of the bloodline and telling everybody that they, and even the toilet reference stuff was just quality stuff from The Rock, and just very entertaining.
It was solid. It was also really fun and interesting to see, like, he is fully aligned with the bloodline. Usually when you get a heel that goes out there and says, we have a new member, the guy comes out and he winds up turning on them. That was not the case we got here. Roman Reigns said, you're going to see The Rock join Bloodline. And by God, you saw The Rock join Bloodline. They all put the fingers up. It was a dramatic end of the show. And you had that realization of Cody is completely outnumbered in this situation. How is our hero, Dom, going to ever overcome this?
Well, Blue Meanie presented an interesting theory.
Blue Meanie, friend of the show, by the way.
End of the show, yes.
Throwing that out there. Love when Meanie's on interacting.
But Meanie is great, and he's got such a sound mind for the business. And this is the theory he wrote on social media. He basically said that, hey, maybe The Rock has underlying intentions with Cody. And even mentioned back when The Rock first came out, I believe on the February 2nd episode of SmackDown, and whispered something in Cody's ear where Cody relinquished everything, basically, or indicated that. But then he goes on to say, last night on SmackDown, The Rock comes out to join, quote unquote, the bloodline. He cuts the heel promo. If you notice, when they all do the finger point upward, The Rock has his thumb out. The Rock has a stunt out. The hand gesture commonly known as loser hand gesture. Basically, The Rock is signaling that he is there to help Roman lose to Cody at Mania because it's actually The Rock who is ashamed of how Roman is acting. The Rock just had Cody say it all at the press event that led to the contact between Rock and Cody. Last year at Mania, Cody was outnumbered by the Bloodline. This year, Seth Rollins and The Rock are his backup and to any interference and will help Cody attain the goal of winning the title that his father never did. Just my two cents. Robert, what do you think of that theory?
So I've seen a couple people, I think Bully Ray also mentioned that he saw the thumb out instead of the finger. I think some folks are wearing some tinfoil hats. I think some people are really trying to read into everything. Is it possible? Absolutely. It would be an interesting story for Rock to tell that he was helping Cody all along. We've seen with Rikishi that they are not afraid to overthink a story to the point where it no longer makes sense, that The Rock did it for Cody. I don't see that, because at the end of the day, the story then becomes that Rock made his own family look foolish. So that's the concern. Now, it could be, hey, I don't like what Roman was doing. I was going along with this all along to set it up that Cody's the guy that knocks him down and takes his title. And now I'm going to swoop in and I'm going to take control of the Bloodline. And then you've got a SummerSlam match. I don't hate that idea, but I don't know that they were necessarily that granular to do the L.
I thought maybe that was just coincidental kind of thing. You don't really kind of think about that. I wouldn't think about that if I was sticking my finger up in the air either, but who knows?
How often are you just waving your finger in the air, Dom?
All the time. When I'm at Starbucks, whether I'm at the gym, I just try to get the L out there. I want everybody to know that they're going to be a loser if they're around me, because I'm a winner, Robert. I'm a winner. You know who else is a winner, though, and everybody else can be, is if you utilize Blue Chew, huh? How about that?
Wow, that was so, it was a seamless. That was smooth. But yes, guys, this episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex and not Dom's L finger in the air. I remember the days when you were always ready to go. Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. The process is simple. Throw your finger in the air, then tap it on your keyboard and sign up at BlueChew.com. Consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part, it's all done online. No visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Guys, we are days away from Elimination Chamber. You got to make the most of your time. You don't want to be waiting in line at the pharmacy. You want that Blue Chew in hand, so when you see whoever's pointing at the WrestleMania sign to celebrate, you're ready to go. Pop a Blue Chew. Get involved in that celebration. And Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we, Dom and I here, as part of Podcast Heat and ad-free shows, have a special deal for our listeners, our viewers. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code RUMOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code RUMOR, to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast.
Be a winner in the bedroom, guys. Winner in the bedroom. From Blue Meanie to Blue Chew, here we go. We are going to talk about a little bit of CM Punk's comments on The Rock, actually. Obviously, CM Punk is out with the injury, the torn tricep. He talked about that. I believe it was with the Fight Network. He had an interview with before UFC took place. And he was asked about The Rock coming back. I have the quote right here. He says, I think
it's fantastic. So studious.
How about that, huh? Just on the ball today, kind of, sort of. I think it's fantastic. 10 years ago, I was the guy that was wrestling Rock when he came back. And now 10 years later, he's coming back. And I think the landscape has completely changed, right? WrestleMania is two nights now. It's even bigger. Him coming back only helps. I always say high tide raises all ships. So I'm just happy that even though I'm hurt, I'm still going to be kind of in the mix. My mouth still works, so I'm going to be able to talk some trash. I don't know if you saw the kickoff we did in Vegas with Rock and Roman and Seth and Cody. It was a lot of fun. I just hope to continue to do that while I'm recuperating, because I can always just talk trash with the best of them. It's the best part. It's what I do. Following up from that conversation last week, we talked about Punk being on commentary, potentially where he fits in and everything like that. You think he'd be a good third man with Pat and Michael Cole, or where would you kind of place CM Punk? With Big E, or maybe put Big E on SmackDown, separate him? What would you kind of do with that landscape there, Robert?
Sure. So I think first, the Punk's comments were interesting, because this shows that this is a guy who is fully playing ball. This is corporate Punk. This is what you want to see when you bring him back into the company, that he is a good steward of this partnership. And rather than taking the side that he probably would have done in 2005 of these part-timers, these has-beens, these guys who don't belong here anymore, taking spots from current stars, he sees The Rock is a great complimentary piece. He's drawing huge eyeballs. The ratings for SmackDown, off the charts. As far as where you use Punk, yeah, I would put him on commentary, on Raw. Maybe you use him for 1 hour. Maybe you break it up. You do what Nitro used to do. You put him out there for an hour or something like that. I usually like 3 hours of continuity, but I think that the Pat McAfee, CM Punk together at the same time, that would be a little much. I think Big E might be better at kind of navigating those waters. I would not be sad to see Punk on NXT, because I think that Punk is a guy who's really good at pointing out and elevating younger talent. And that would be a fun spot to see him. I don't want to mess with the chemistry and the dynamic that you're seeing on SmackDown. And Corey Graves and Wade Barrett have a really good thing going on there. But Punk working with Vic Joseph, talking about the younger talent, I think it'd be a hell of a draw as they move over to the CW. And speaking of the CW, we are not going to have time to talk about Billy and the CW today. Terribly sorry to all of our friends tuning in for that exciting information.
I was ready to roll too with that, but yeah, I would love to see Punk. I think that's a great idea, putting him on NXT, because yeah, you're getting eyes already on the product, you know, and it's like he just mentioned, you know, high tides raises all waters, and him being on NXT, you're positioning a lot of those stars to get eyes on them that they may not have necessarily had if CM Punk wasn't there. But to your point too, with Raw, like separating it from like an hour and stuff, I would just love them to do the Larry Zbyszko stand up and turn around and acknowledge the crowd during that. So
you're like the only Larry Zbyszko fan I think I've ever met. That's tremendous.
I'm a diehard Larry fan too, by the way.
How Larry doesn't have a podcast on this on ad-free shows, like I don't know what's going on with Conrad. Like Larry, you can just call it Larry reminds you he knew Bruno Sammartino. And every week it's just him going, you know, I knew Bruno, and that's the whole show. And I think that would be a hell of a draw. What was also kind of interesting with The Rock's comments and talking about business, and we talked a little bit about The Rock before, uh-huh, is have you seen he dropped The Rock, the pronoun boy, dropped a new ad for his Zoa energy drink?
Yes, I did. I happened to catch it on Instagram. It was just a regular Joe mustachioed coming in, and then he took a drink of Zoa energy and turned into The Rock. So
it's a great ad. It's different people drinking his energy drink, turning into The Rock. But it also shows maybe why Blue Meanie's theory has a little bit of credence to it, because The Rock has to be concerned a little bit with public persona, that you're going out there and you're tearing into the audience that you want to go have spend money on seeing you in the movies, buying your products, supporting your TV shows. There's a certain segment of the audience that cannot separate art from artist. And they're gonna be like, well, that guy just made fun of me, so I ain't going to buy his drink. Not that I'm characterizing any fans out there who may be thinking certain things, but maybe there's a small part of The Rock that's like, I'll play the heel for a little bit, and then I'm going to come back and be like, it was all the ruse. I love y'all. Please give me your money. Are we the only people in wrestling that don't have an energy drink?
I think we're at least one of the select few, you know, We'll get one eventually, I think. You know what? You're kind of getting the gears turning with Larry Zbyszko. Maybe I can pitch him an energy drink that we can do.
Because when you think high energy, right, the first person you think is Larry Zbyszko.
100%.
In his promo delivery, the way that he chooses not to work. And it's one of the best things I love. If you guys listen to the Orange Show, which is here on ad-free shows and part of that larger, the Conrad Cinematic Universe, is he always talks about how Zbyszko wanted to take the least amount of bumps and do the least amount of work. And you can't blame him. Preserve your body, stretch out as long as you can as a wrestler. But yeah, I don't think Zbyszko energy, maybe it's like a nighttime, like something you take before bed,
right? Like a NyQuil.
Like get him for Audible. It's like Larry Zbyszko reads the phone book or something like that. That'll put people out quickly. That is the true GTS. But we're going to need our sleep, dude, because Elimination Chamber on Saturday starts at 5 o'clock in the morning. I know I'm setting my alarm to get up for it, and I'm sure you are. Are you pumped for this show?
I'm pretty amped up. It's finalized. The men's match is finally finalized. Plus, you have the interesting element of Rhea Ripley, like, headlining it, and being in her hometown, and same Grayson Waller with Cody and Seth. And so there's a lot of intriguing elements coming on, and just the atmosphere. It's almost like the intrigue of what Backlash was is, I think the big takeaway was that crowd, that Puerto Rico crowd that really like gave that huge reception and stuff like that. And you know that these Australian fans are going to be very pumped to have something in town like this. But yeah, Robert, it's finalized. Randy Orton, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, and LA Knight will vie for the right to challenge Seth freaking Rollins for that World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 40. We talked about it before. We basically think that Drew McIntyre is the surefire shoe-in to win this match. What do you think of the landscape of this match with all these guys being finalized, like Logan Paul and LA Knight making the cut after this past week's SmackDown?
So here's the thing that wrestling fans need to understand. It's okay if the most logical outcome is the outcome that happens. If it's the logical outcome, it's because the story has been laid out well. So Drew McIntyre winning the Elimination Chamber, going after Seth Rollins, is the most logical choice that they have. And it's the choice that's going to be the most emotionally satisfying if you're actually watching week in and week out the programming. I was surprised that Kevin Owens and Logan Paul both wound up in the chamber. I think we talked about that last week, that I thought there was a possibility. It was a possibility that we were going to get, you know, a Kevin Owens, Logan Paul separate rematch. Looks like they're kicking the can down the road to Mania. So I wouldn't be surprised if one or both of those eliminations are because of each other. LA Knight, I don't see LA Knight being the guy who's going to win this. Orton is sort of the participation trophy. He gets to be there. He gets to be a part of the match. So I don't see another outcome that makes sense. Lashley especially does not make sense for it. He's got a ready-made feud going on with Karrion Kross and the Authors of Pain. So they've really telegraphed that you're getting this. I've still put that kernel out there that I thought somebody was potentially going to get taken out of the chamber. The challenge is SmackDown this week was already taped. It's already in the can. We're not going to spoil anything, but it's not like they did anything on SmackDown to take one of those people out. Maybe tonight on Raw, since, you know, you still have an opportunity to do something, but it's going to be a great atmosphere. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think that audience is going to be really, really just engaged and excited. I was going to curse. That's why I paused there for a minute. I'm trying to behave myself, Dom. But you've got the men's chamber. Women's chamber, we find at the last participant tonight in the women's battle royal, which, you know, it's not the most novel way to get somebody in there, but I'll be pulling for Shayna Baszler. I think that she's awesome. She's been great in chambers in the past. So hopefully, you know, Shayna winds up in there. But it's gonna be an interesting card.
It is, yeah, and I'm with you on Shayna Baszler. I think she deserves to be in there and adds that Not these other women aren't great wrestlers and everything like that, but she adds another layer of legitimacy to it with her UFC background and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm always an advocate for Shayna Baszler. But yeah, if you did, hypothetically speaking, if you did have to pick a second, who would you pick besides Drew to win this match that would give you an engaging match at WrestleMania with Seth? Would make most sense, I guess. Besides,
so Drew. It's tough because you could go potentially Kevin Owens if you're trying to tell it. The only reason Kevin Owens could theoretically make sense, guys, and I'm like fantasy booking on the spot, which is never ideal. But if Kevin Owens were to be the one who wins and he's going after Seth Rollins and he gets taken out, you're all thinking he's definitely gotten taken out by Logan Paul. But they've been teasing for the last several months a very frustrated Sami Zayn. Maybe that's a different avenue that you're going down. Who the hell knows? There was a lot of people I thought could have been plugged into the mix here that would have been spoilers. Gunther would have been an interesting one. Jey Uso would have been an interesting one. Speaking of, we're getting those guys on Raw tonight. That's going to be intriguing for the Intercontinental title. But they really have telegraphed that there's only one guy. You could always heat Orton up and put him in there. Orton and Seth, we've seen it before. It's something. It's some sort of marquee match. You still have Damian Priest floating around with the briefcase. So potential intrigue if they really wanted to throw this thing for a loop. But I still maintain, let's stay the course. Let's get Drew. Let's get Seth. Tell that story. And I would love to see Drew McIntyre win the title in front of an actual crowd of people.
He deserves it, and I think the story actually just accepts that. You know, I think it's set up for that. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. An interesting story that kind of took place was unexpected on AEW Dynamite. We talked about it last week with Darby Allin cutting a promo and referencing Cody Rhodes, not mentioning him by name, but clearly referencing Cody Rhodes. And we talked about it, broke it down, how it was bad kind of for business and everything like that. Darby spoke with Digital Spy this week and had some quotes regarding this. He said, "That's easy," referencing why he referenced him, because he's the reason I'm in AEW. You first think back to my debut. I wrestled him at Fyter Fest, and I went a 20-minute Broadway draw. For him to take a chance on me that early, I was relatively super unknown still. I was never really the guy on the independent scene. He did that. You've got to give him respect where respect is due. I feel very strongly on paying homage to how I got here because I never thought I was going to get here. And then in regards to the blowback that he received because of referencing Cody, he says, "I only pay attention to what I think. I really don't care about what anyone else thinks. You've just got to listen to yourself about things. I really felt it was important for me to tell my part of the story leading into that match and not just be this second-rate character going into the match. I have a lot of things I wanted to say to the Young Bucks, and I said it, so be it. I just want to go out there and speak my mind on things." Robert, what do you think of those comments?
I think there's a reason Darby Allin cut short promos on TV, and we just heard why in that quote. This is a guy who's not doing what's best for business, for AEW. He wants to make it this, I'm telling my personal story. I'm trying to talk about how important Cody was to getting me in the company. That's great if there's a payoff. If the payoff was the guy who vouched for me and got me into the company was Sting. He saw a video of me. He called up Tony Khan and said, "Give this guy a chance." Cool. I'm invested. That makes total sense. The story of Cody's the guy who saw something in me. The Bucks didn't. So I need to go get revenge on behalf of Cody, the guy who's no longer in this company, is really weird. And I will be a broken record, guys. Maybe this should just be a sponsored segment. The Robert Weekly, why the hell are we getting this as Sting's retirement match segment? Brought to you by, I don't know what a cranky old man medication would be, but that's kind of where I'm at here, is the cranky old man with this. Like, it is so deep in the world of worked shoot that I hate it. I want it to be, it's Sting's last match. These guys attacked his kid. His giant ass man children that he has. And he wants revenge. Guys, that's all I need to be able to be like, I'm going to go and watch this match. I don't need Darby rehashing politics and people giving me a shot. I mean, look, there's a comment right here in the comments from Antonio Santos, who said, "We could have got Sting Flair. You, sir, are a monster. How dare you?" But yes, there is still the possibility in like 6 months' time that we could still get a Flair Sting out of continuity match. You never know.
I'd be all for it.
No, you would not. First of all, you're pitching Larry Zbysko energy drinks. You're pitching Sting Flair matches. You and Antonio Santos are like merging together into just these agents of chaos trying to single-handedly bring down our wonderful, peaceful world. We just want a positive experience, Dom. You know what I'm all about? Positive experiences.
Yes. You know what? And Fanatics is presenting us with a positive experience this WrestleMania week in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Yes, we are getting their new version of probably WWE Access here. They released a press release Monday morning here. And it says, WWE World at WrestleMania will feature a variety of immersive experience. Sorry about that. And including a central main stage that will host a roundtable of discussions with top WWE superstars, a WWE 2K24 gaming tournament, oh boy, live podcast recording, hey, maybe us, live memorabilia and autograph sales through Fanatics Live, and the largest WWE superstore in WrestleMania history. The event will also feature exclusive WWE merchandise, all the autograph sessions and meet and greets with WWE superstars and legends, in addition to immersive exhibits and memorabilia honoring WrestleMania's 40-year history. So, Robert, they got some big things planned. Legends, I think Larry Zbysko will be there, guys. So what do you think there, Robert?
That you're secretly his agent?
No.
And I was unaware of this fact. Like, you're building quite a stable. You got Rob Van Dam, you got Greg Gagne, you got Magnum TA. Why not add Larry to that group? But
the new four horsemen.
I think this, good Lord. I think this Fanatics experience is great for two reasons. One, you're solidifying that partnership with Fanatics, which they always kept all the merch stuff in house for so many years. Stepping up, working with a third party like Fanatics. I've worked professionally with Fanatics in many different iterations in previous companies. I know what they're able to do. I like the WrestleMania Access vibe. I like that they make this feel like it's a multi-day event. You go into town, and when cities vie for Mania, and not to get too far, I was once helping put together a bid package for a city in order to be able to procure WrestleMania. They were successful. You needed to be able to identify different venues, different buildings within the city that can host these sorts of fan access events. So you're increasing the economic lift that the WWE has. You're going into town for, let's say you're flying in from Mania to Philly. You got Mania Saturday, Mania Sunday, Raw Monday, that SmackDown that Friday. If you can get them in there flying in Thursday to start with the fan experience, you are putting what they like to say is heads in beds. That's how they measure this. That's legitimately the industry term, is how many people are staying in the hotels, eating in the local restaurants, lifting the local economy. And the more money WWE is able to show that they've infused into a city, the more they can ask when they're going out to bid for 2026, 2027, 2028. So I think the fan experience will be a lot of fun. It's a good opportunity. If you are a young fan and you meet any wrestler, any WWE superstar, legend, whoever it is, you are hooked for life because you have now physically seen a real-life superhero. I mean, as a kid, I remember meeting Earl Hebner at a WWE show, and you're like, this is so cool. You're the guy from TV. I saw you and Dave in the and you're like, that's it. Or meeting Paul Bearer, like, it solidifies it. It crystallizes that fandom. And that's what's important for WWE. What's important for us, Dom, is that we just delivered a hell of a 30 minutes of rumor and innuendo. Time flew by, man. I mean, there's extra stuff we were still going to talk about beyond Billy and the CW. We're not going to have a chance to get to today. But I will steal from Jennifer V, who said, great program. Thank you. Dom, I couldn't agree more. What a great program. Do you have any other fine programs you want to plug to the folks.
You know, funny you should mention that, Robert, because it every Monday at 4:20 p.m., I release One of a Kind with RVD. That's Rob Van Dam. We have a new episode. It's actually our 40th episode that we released today. And Rob covers a lot of ground from The Rock and CM Punk being injured. His upcoming match this week on Dynamite, he breaks it down in his history with Samoa Joe. Lots of cool stuff to enjoy there. And then, hey, followed up with that on Tuesday with Straight Talk with the Boss, Magnum TA and Greg Gagne. We have a good episode lined up there. We cover plenty, and our spotlight this week will be the Rock and Roll Express that they have on the Powertown Wrestling figures coming out. So it's a very exciting episode. Some good traction getting there. And yes, so there you go, Robert. What do you have? You got a certain thing called Wrestle Bros, don't you?
I do. We just dropped our latest episode on Friday. You can find that every week. That is part of the ad-free shows and All Things Comedy podcast networks. You can get that wherever you get your podcasts. More importantly, guys, we're thankful for you tuning in here, whether you caught us live streaming on the WWE Creative-ish X account, the Dominic D'Angelo X account, the SE Scoops X account, the Podcast Heat X account. We thank our partners at Podcast Heat for making this possible. We were on YouTube today on Rumor and Innuendo. We were bumped from the ad-free shows live stream. They had something else going on today. We'll be back on there tomorrow. If you missed us live, you can catch us in audio form anywhere you get your podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple, Amazon, wherever it may be. And when you do go, make sure you click subscribe. Throw us a 5-star review like your Dave Meltzer. We really appreciate it. So on behalf of the incredibly appreciative Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.
Sponsored by Larry Land Energy Drink.